This is Jan Cox, talk number 798, recorded on April 3rd, 1991.
That is my excuses. We were discussing the fact that explanations tend to pass and be accepted as causes in the ordinary world. In addition to some of the examples that we were using last time in religion, zoology, psychology. If you remember regarding all kinds of examples from ideas of man's demonic domination to people having bad character to the questions of dogs territorially marking off fenced perimeters of open areas to the questions of the complex flights of birds, you recall all that, of how, in a way unnoticed, that explanations are taken for force as being causes. I was going to ask if you could push this a little bit further and, in a sense, sort of update it. But it's almost off to a sidetrack. It doesn't mean that the rest of the ideas inherent in religion that they're doing in science, if you recall the example, even dragging in zoology and mathematics, of the newer versions of the explanations as to how birds engage in this complex flight that is not just, even if at all, the biological effect of a lead bird, that it could be explained, and then of course assume that's the cause, by such things as a theory of chaos. But beyond all of that, in sort of a parallel way that never gets a particular notice, is consider this. We have a flock of experts. A panel of experts. Since I guess TV shows now seem to be like the super reality. So you could assume you're seeing it on television, or you could be old-fashioned enough that you went out somewhere. And there's some sort of panel discussion. And it has to do with social affairs and et cetera. But it comes out like this. Somebody, they're discussing it, could be the subject ends up being such as this. The unhealthy pressures of society in the demand for success among our children. Are the unhealthy pressures of society on women to be attractive and beautiful. Somewhere in there. So we have these experts. I'm talking about real experts now. So let's say that the first expert, they bring up the subject, whatever, ostensibly, that they get it going, but the first expert says that there is no doubt any longer, just no doubt, that it is these certain unhealthy pressures from society, from our society, that produce this totally unacceptable, health-threatening stresses on children. We have children with private tutors in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Or, if you want it a little more up to some of your speed, probably. No offense, but they start about all these kinds of eating disorders that are so popular now. And they point out, no, don't start laughing yet, if at all. And so the expert, who be a psychologist, a medical doctor, but we're talking serious expert now, the person says, they lay down the ground, the basics of it, the groundwork, and they say, well, there is no doubt that it is these kind of unhealthy social pressures on women in our society just to be attractive, to be beautiful, at all cost. And so it ends up in bulimia and nirvana. That's not it, is it? Nervous nirvana? Nevada X Arena? Well, you know what those eating disorders are.
But the expert says that it is this sort of unhealthy pressure from our society. They say that, and the camera's back a little, you're sitting there in person, and the other experts are sitting there. And they've already introduced them. They'll flash their names as a doctor, the head of a psychology department, one of the important members, John Hopkins, a medical doctor. And they're going, as soon as the person says, and you know how it's going after that. I assume you do. It really doesn't have to go anywhere after that because that is the program. That is the explanation and that is it. But we're going to try and shoot them up in the air so that you can see it from a different way. They will sit there, the other experts, the panelists, and they will nod and just professional, automatic agreement in a way that is absolutely authoritative and commonsensical. You never question it. So don't start trying to allow yourself to play some kind of five and dime critic to this, because if you were just sitting there operating at the ordinary level, and for whatever reason that you had a sister, your mother, or you just interested in these kinds of eating disorders that you hear afflicting women, or maybe even your own girlfriend is driving you nuts about, you know, don't I look too fat? You know, she weighs 72 pounds. You think, give me a book. But then this expert points out, well, they'll start pointing at advertising. It's one of the easiest ways to do is to say, well, just look at what our society presents women with. Nothing but a nonstop parade of ultra slim women. Women, such beautiful features. We have, at least facially, but we have our society in some ways come up with this unhealthy picture of an extremely thin woman, and has now turned that into an accepted modeling paradigm for the rest of us, and people are not like that. And it is now driving people almost beyond any sort of neurosis and mental pressure. It is driving them into emergency wards. It is killing people through eating disorders. And the other panelists, the camera's back enough, and the other panelists, and you could be sitting there, and you go. The nod is full professional agreement, and if you're just sitting there, you're nowadays, we'll assume that you're ordinary, that you are a part of contemporary thought, and you're not alone with common sense agreement. As I said, you might even be personally involved with somebody like this, or you know a friend, and so you nod. That is stupid. That's just... They already said unhealthy. They might have even said figuratively. They might have added figuratively. It's almost unholy that we present these kinds of pictures and a woman can't live up to it. Or if they're talking about children doing so and so, and we expect our children. Their father's out there with a little 7-year-old kid and they bought him a $150 baseball glove. And they bought him video showing him batting practice. Boob Powell. Can't forget Boob. And so the psychiatrist, the expert, or whoever it is, can say, you don't have to go through that. Well, obviously I'm about to. But you're already, if you're sitting home, the rest of the panelists, they know what it is. They say, can you imagine? We're talking about a 7-year-old child that should be out, and sticking his finger in his ear, playing in mud, just doing those kind of things that children, by God, were meant to do. But something's happened, this kind of competitive nature, this kind of unhealthy pressure from this kind of society that we're in, now has fathers out. And I go past there and I see little children out there on the baseball field, little league, crying. And some father standing there over a 7-year-old kid hollering, now you saw that film, you saw it, you've got to keep your eye. What are we coming to? Another expert's going, my, how true. And you'll be sitting there, how true. It is irrefutable at the ordinary level. There's nothing wrong with that thus far. It just sounds totally explanatory It just, you don't have to analyze it, if I'm now speaking from an ordinary view, you don't have to analyze it, but there it is, four or five experts. Plus, you are sensible enough, as soon as they start, as soon as they point out the unhealthy pressures of our society, today's society, that causes, and then fill it in, the pressure on children, of women believing that they've got to look like Perry and Carpenter dug up. Well, somebody real thin. Don't soft rock fanatics right now. If you were just sitting there, you would already take it. You don't have to be an expert, but you would be reacting when I said you might be sitting at home nodding along your agreement. There is the expert professional agreement, them going, which you knew they would, even the panel, the moderator, he or she, or yes, yeah. Because it's irrefutable. It is part of the explanations of life, of modern, sophisticated, educated, erudite, with it, life. And you would be sitting there being a layman in this area, let's assume, and you would nod. What can be said? It is absolutely just irrefutable. It is explanatory. It will be taken as the cause, and it's irrefutable from that ordinary level. And you could say that in a sense, right quick, it is in a secondary, ordinary sense, you could say that it is a kind of advancement from the days of believing, well, demons made this woman starve herself to death because demons attacked her in some way. And with her dying breath, she was saying, well, I just wanted to look good so that Augustus Caesar might take some notice of me. And they thought, poor woman, poor wench. I think that's the way they talked back in. But it wasn't Roman times. It was back in Hollywood in the 50s when they made Roman movies. They say, poor woman starved herself to death just on the off chance that Augustus Caesar might be riding by and take notice of her when she didn't even realize that Augustus Caesar was. Well, I don't want to spread rumors. And so you could say it was a kind of progress, a kind of advancement just in an automatic, at an automatic level, that has gone from them believing, in this case, what I was going to get to, that the woman had been demon-possessed. Anybody had starved themselves to death. And it could go from that, you could look at on a quite ordinary city, street level view and say, well, there's been some sort of advancement that we no longer, in general, many people no longer believe that it's demonic possession that would make a father want his son to succeed in a sport, or that would make a woman starve herself just to meet the outline that at that time seemed to be society's idea of attractive. So we've gone past that, and from one view, you could say what even seems to have gone beyond the ordinary psychological, the individual psychological view, that the person, the individual, the woman who starved herself, the father who was just irrationally overbearing on his kid to succeed in Little League, that it's beyond just the individual, perhaps, subconscious, traumatic influences making them do this, that it, in a sense, is a kind of expanded collective guilt, collective explanation now that it would be more on a sociological as opposed to psychological level. That is, the unhealthy pressures of this kind of society that would make somebody do that. Well, excuse me, but what society? What did I miss when I was describing all the? And this is, for you people at home and out on the home shopping network, or what is this? This is no fault-finding mission, and it is certainly no sarcasm, no cynicism, but it is a notation of that which normally goes unnoted. That's why it strikes some people at times, according to those cards and letters to which we responded, as being, well, this is sarcastic, because anything unnoted, if you're listening with noted ears, and a notation is made of that which is normally unnoted, your receiver is going to hear it as being static, being something coming from some pirate station that doesn't belong on the air. Anybody would do that, it's obviously a smart ass, a troublemaker, so wait a minute. It's not a fault-finding mission, but I am pointing out that which is never pointed out. And so, if you were listening with ordinary ears, of course it always sounds aggressive to some degree because it is an attack. His Majesty, intellectually, we're kicking all your favorite little dogs and gods around, except they're up here. And it's not surprising that somebody's ordinary ears go, wait a minute, who the hell are you? Who are you to make some kind of joke about and then fill in the blank? My car, my religion, my haircut, my life. Life! Nobody. So consider, man's ordinary intellect is not arranged, not arranged for, it is not charged with any responsibility for establishing or comprehending causes. It's not its job, it could not, the ordinary intellect, if it wanted to. Because even if it wanted to, and we stopped, and I spoke ordinary intellects, and they would go, yes, we want to, then they would jump on explanations, even their explanation about why they already do it and why I'm wrong. And it's irrefutable. Because they're an expert on themselves. They're an expert on what they think. And their explanation would be the cause. And anything you say is just... So ordinary intellect, it is not wired up to do this, nor is it its responsibility. So there is no place for sarcasm. There is no irony. There is no cynicism. Because nothing is broken. Nothing is missing the mark. Nothing turns out to be its own opposite. It's just not. It's only if you're only hearing. Remember on those great, ever popular AM airwaves, did anything outside the 535 to the 1605 ever popular kilohertz? Sounds as though it's noise, static, or, as I said, even a pirate station coming from some smartass somewhere trying to override decent, ordinary, God-fearing AM broadcasts. And I don't like it. I'm sorry I heard it, and I don't like it. The ordinary intellect is not charged with doing anything outside that spectrum. It has nothing to do with establishing what would amount to, at this level, would amount to conclusive causes. So it must, to keep things interesting, to keep your account churned up, to keep Wall Street in operation, it must continually be replenishing, replacing these stand-ins. Instead of causes, these substitutes, which are explanations. It cannot stop. When it stops, extreme boredom is what humans call it individually. Well, what would be a kind of stagnation on a larger sort of institutional level. And therefore, the explanations are continually, you recall the stand-ins. They're appearing here tonight. You recall the one we pulled last time. Appearing here tonight in the place of, of course, they don't say this, but in the place and playing the role of causes, since causes couldn't be here, is Billy Bob excuse. And so people forget. As soon as they say that, the whole audience forgets, and you take the guy playing excuse as fulfilling the role of cause. But since you got to come back to the theater, or at least your theater, day after day, week after week, it begins to get boring. And so, apparently, they change. They don't give causes, as promised originally, in the program, but they change the person playing excuses. Keep that in mind for a second. Ooh, I nearly can. All right, good. On that basis, thus what you have. Literally, which is not of the importance, but what you have then are experts forced to sit and seriously, solemnly, agreed ideas that are patently unsupportable if you push the analyzation of it just one more bite, one more millimeter, one more real inquiry, even just a raised eyebrow. Beyond what you should think, carry just one inch, just that much further. Of course, we're speaking from a radical view, this is, but it would still be true in life if it could happen in the studio, in the theater. But the experts must sit there and was absolute, not an attack, but seriousness, or you wouldn't watch. They wouldn't be experts, life wouldn't work. They're not going to discuss the severe eating disorders that plague many. In fact, they point out, as I assume you've heard too, those who suffer from bulimia and the other one. I'm not going through that again. All right, I can do it. It's the higher the educational level, the higher the incidence of such as this. And so it's no laughing matter. And they cannot start discussing children showing up, 7-year-old children with ulcers. Can you read me? Ulcers because of their father. They can't do that. And then some of the other experts go, Jesus Christ. An ulcer boy. You understand that is, I mean, that's not sarcastic for me to even do it. It's not cynical. It's nothing. That just doesn't even compute with ordinary people. Well, some of you laugh just out of nervousness. But if you tried to do something like that with ordinary people, well, besides you being extremely dumb, I don't know. They might try to hang you. I mean, it just does not fit into the ordinary schematic arrangement of life. I just want to point this out. You don't normally analyze this because it's not necessary. But all experts, it's up to you to consider whether we're still talking about out there or somewhere else. And by God, you better be considering it. That they must sit there and seriously, solemnly agree to what? If it was carried one inch further, if we could get past explanation, they'd have to sit there, experts, and nod their full agreement to what is patently childish pout. Factual fabrications. I mean, there's nothing else to say. I thought I was fairly decent about it. They are made to gravely nod their full buttressing. Their defense of blatant, childish, transparent fibs. Remember, this is not an attack because this has nothing to do with ordinary people. If ordinary people heard it, they could probably think it was sarcastic, would be the least of it. But you've got to understand. All you got to do is take it yourself just one inch further by any to believe, to sit there and nod that there is such a creature, a culpable one at that, but such a creature actually is society. That's what we started out with. That's what the experts said. That's that these women, I'll go through right quick because as soon as I do, or as soon as I start, those of you who are even looking blank now, you know exactly, if you got any sense fooling around with this, what it's saying, the way the energy is behind what people ordinarily think they're thinking about, to say, because remember, on the surface, and even the experts and you at that level agree, it is irrefutable that we have women, women with a college education, not just one or two, we're not talking about just really anecdotal evidence. We're talking about statistical evidence. We're talking about several decades of study at reputable universities. We have women with graduate degrees, scores of them, who have died directly related to them trying to starve themselves to fit into this unhealthy idea that Playboy, Mademoiselle, 17, just this unhealthy picture that society has presented that women should look like. It is irrefutable. Unless, of course, you push it just one inch further. And then you say along with me, excuse me, what society, what was it I missed? Where is society? This is, if you want me to whip it up into baby food any more, it's kind of, you're stuck with this sort of thing. This is just a different way in which life is now presenting it. But it's the same thing then as saying, well, this woman, or little Jimmy, go back to last time, now that he's grown up as a teenager and can afford to buy a little booze, the lad has become a drunken ne'er-do-well. What is the cause of this? And they give you the explanation. Well, his father was the town drunk. His father makes him look like a choir boy. Oh. And, as always, you cannot push that one step further. You can't say, wait a minute, that's the cause. Yes, that's the cause. But wait a minute. That can't be the cause, because then you got to tell me why his father was like that. And you understand, that's not the way life is arranged. It's not simply that nobody can answer it. They just got to keep saying, well, his father was like that. His father was like that. Life's not arranged for it to happen. And so the causes, that which is taking as causes, have to be continually replenished, restocked with new excuses. But it will not stand any analyzation that would have you thinking that much more than you must, than you should, than you have to. There is simply no such thing as society. But now it is so much a part of the wiring system of human thought that even me pointing out, me going through twice that sort of little theatrical bit of saying, excuse me, society calls this, excuse me, what I missed, what society, where'd it go? That's almost not funny. Because if you're listening with ordinary ears, you could say, whoa, what a cheap joke. And that's almost distasteful. Assuming I understand what he said. But nobody thinks any further. It's quite literally this when I say that experts must sit there and solemnly support. And you do too, if you're part of ordinary society.
Yeah.
Support what amounts to an absolutely transparent fib, a factual fabrication, that is the pressures of society drive women to literally kill themselves, trying to starve their body into some phony baloney, some false image that our society has presented to them. Excuse me? Well, where is the society? And of course, if you tried that, you were that dumb. When you tried that with these experts, you tried this, if you brought in society, if you brought in the average, the middle of the ordinary thinking bell curve of our city, our locale, our planet, you said, wait a minute, everybody's now attributing all of these misfortunes, these collective faux pas, they're now attributing it to the unhealthy pressures of a perhaps less than fully healthy society. Look here, folks, there is no such thing as society. There is no society apart from people. Where did this start? How come you say that now society, the unhealthy pressures of an unhealthy society, because it is an unhealthy society that would tell each and every woman, regardless of her own personal problems, her genetic makeup, that she has got to weigh 97 pounds or no man will ever want to marry her, go to bed with her, treat her like a person. That is unhealthy. And our society has done it. An unhealthy society. Yes. Except for this, where is society? Excuse me, what I miss? Where is it? Where can we grab this thing and somebody whip up on it? Or at least set it down and say, Art, you look here. You can't do it. It's not just me trying to, as you know, prove that in some way we are correct or I'm correct pointing this out and they're not. It's just got nothing to do with the way life operates to see that. But it is a beautiful, more up-to-date kind of torted, for example, of the kind of torted reasoning that people do not ordinarily see, that now is accepted as even a wider even a more up-to-date example, perhaps, than religion, than even psychology or subconscious motivations making this woman over here. That if we look back, her mother weighed 400 pounds and couldn't hold on to her husband. In fact, she was illegitimate. And so there's something about her mother kept telling her, the most important thing is to attract some decent man. Don't live like I did. My life has been a shambles. It's been miserable being alone, and I attribute it to my weight. And so the daughter grew up. Imagine having this kind of a influence on you. And so the daughter grew up starving herself to death till she finally ruined her health and actually died. So it is not just, say, instead of pointing at one person, there seems to be a kind of expanded, even more intelligent, more sophisticated view of things. It's not just that. Although it could have been true that this could have happened in one instance, that this woman's that had this terminal eating disorder, it could have been that she had an influence personally by her overweight mother. But look at it this way. Her mother would not even had that attitude had it not been for our kind of unhealthy society's unhealthy pressures that all women have got to weigh 97 pounds to be attractive. You understand? It's not just letting some person off the hook. That's not it. It is now part of the collective institutional excuse. Oh, I'm sorry. Cause. The causal explanation of why things are as they are. Other than the fact that everyone from experts to your Uncle Henry, Cousin Bob, Aunt Maudie sitting there, they all nod their agreement to what pushed just one inch. If you've got any, if there's a modicum of hope that you could ever think more than you have to, all you got to do is push it just that much further, and you realize that collectively, the experts, now I'm joining in, are nodding as solemnly, as seriously, as it is, needs to be, and our total authoritative agreement, our upholding, our support, our defense of that which is a crude, childish, transparent, fib. There's no such thing as society. At least I had the decency not to say there's no such thing as society anymore than there is demons and subconscious desires and religious gods. At least I didn't go that far. As some of you might find to be usual in such as this, that once this kind of thing to some of you is noted, and you could, quote, say it's easily seen, yet hard to figure. I.e., it's kind of hard to figure. I mean, you hear some of this, and you go, yeah. I mean, it's just obvious as hell. But then you think, well, it's kind of hard to figure. Kind of more specifically, it's kind of hard to figure, what does it all mean? And, how come I've never noticed this before? There is a little bit more. It's another kind of, if it's possible to put a spin on a skeet as it goes up, there's another slight spin that goes on in the same general area. And it has to do with this, that the more you are an apparent, sophisticated, literate person, the more you must deal in factual fabrications. You can put that down as a law. Don't tell anybody in the city, and don't let yourself know if you're trying to hold on to your city senses. But the more that you are an apparent, and let's talk about them out there, but the more you are an apparent, really sophisticated in the full up-to-date sense, not the pejorative sense that some dictionaries used to have the temerity to include, shame upon them, and you know who you are, you naughty dictionaries, but sophisticated and truly more expansive and up-to-date, the more literate, verging on an expert, even to yourself, that you are, the more
You must deal in factual fabrication. The more you must deal in stand-in explanations and ideas. You don't like that? I couldn't stop there. In other words, the more you're an expert, the more you got to deal in lies, is what ordinary people would call it. I didn't want to call it that because it's operationally invalid. But you have got to deal in these sorts of things that, if you took it one step further, are absolutely unsupportable, such as the unhealthy pressures or the pressures of an unhealthy society. Everybody, oh yes. Unless you can think beyond that level, just an inch, a millimeter, a nanometer, and say, excuse me, what society? That is what I mean. Then you realize, just to make it quick, that's what I was saying, is factual fabrications. They're stand-in explanations for what people believe are causes. To what caused this poor woman to starve herself literally to death. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's the kind of unhealthy pressures our society has placed upon contemporary women to meet some ridiculous false norm. It's irrefutable. And the fact is a goddamn lie. That doesn't explain it. It's just, it's a fairy tale. Unless you want to go back for the fifth time, we'll play, excuse me, what society? Where is this thing? By God, we'll teach it a lesson. We'll either eradicate it, straighten it out, repaint it. We'll do something to it. Where is it? Where is it? I know you're not laughing anymore. Because there is no it. There is no society. There's no more society than there is some of those other things I didn't want to mention to you. Now, some of you don't need to have any additional burdens placed upon your belief system. How about, I was going to give you, here's examples, been going on for years and years, but they still pop up. It had to do with this, my allusion to a slightly different spin. We have a critic, and he is referring to a screenwriter, a film director, some specific movie, or an author, a book, it doesn't matter. And he says, this critic, an expert, is what I mean in the sense that he is reviewing this film director's work or a particular book, this guy. He says, well, the director or the author here, what he has managed to do in this film or in this book, I'm quoting the guy, he says he has been able to cut directly to that sorry dark underbelly of the American dream. All right, experts. And let's assume that you keep up with movies or books, or just you just happen to run across this while you're in the bathroom wanting to read something. And people nod along. He's maybe described some of the movie, or maybe you've already seen the movie, but he points out or read the book, and he says what he managed to do in 300 short pages and 94 minutes of the movie, he was able to cut directly and expose that sordid underbelly, the dark side of the American dream. It could have been that, or it could have been reveal the sorry state of the Russian soul, or the rotting spirit of the Christian church. It could have been anything, and people will go, yes, yes, yes. All of this has to do with a kind of parochial, locally, or local version of excuses. And it is right at the heart, which, I don't know whether it's good or bad that we're out of time, but it's right at the heart of all these ordinary forms of nationalism, etc., all those forms, as opposed to a more primary basis of men territorially marking out their own territories, their own areas in the same way that the dog does the fenced-in perimeter of a field. All these forms of nationalism, the underbelly of the American dream. And do note that the American dream has nothing to do with, I changed it, could have been the Russian soul, the communist manifesto, the communist idea of utopia, whatever it is,
but they say it did so-and-so, it revealed the truth about so-and-so, and what is very common throughout history, it's not just local, it's not just contemporaneous, is pointing out that this guy's work, or some idea, some poem, some history, has revealed the dark side, the secret side of, and then fill it in with some nationalistic, and put that in quotation marks with a, I guess, a smaller capital N. In other words, the widest sense, nationalistic in the sense it could be referring to religion, could be referring to race, it could be, but to localize it and say this is revealing the dark side of the American dream. And many people go, oh, well, I know what that means. It means nothing. Oh, I know what they think it means. And at that level, it means as much as anything else. But this still has to do with explanations. It still has to do with the support of what are patent to any eye with any sense. Fabrications. Is this is what plays locally. Nationalistic in the full sense of the word. It's got nothing to do with patriotism. It's got nothing to do with the physical defense of your backyard or your family. We're talking about fighting over what seems to be ideas, fighting over a movie, fighting over what you think a book says. What it has to do with, it is like presenting this explanation instead of a less appealing. It would not play as well locally to anyone's intelligence, to any group's intelligence, to any city's intelligence. It would not play as well to make a fuller, more universal observation that just touched on. And I'm just going to say this to just make it up right quick. What they believe that the critic would be saying about the dark underbelly of the Russian dream of utopia or the American dream. It would be less appealing if the writers, if the film director, went to a more basic, more direct, getting even closer to causes, won't touch it, but getting closer, if they just simply, instead of referring to the dark underbelly, the dark side of the American dream, if they suddenly, or just simply made some comment on man's worldwide, basic, barbaric, ferocious, greedy, nature, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that does not play as well. You will not go down to the theater, speaking symbolically. You will not go pick up the book if it's just about revealing the dark side of human nature. Oh, Jesus, give me a break. No, revealing the dark side of, and then fill it in. The Presbyterian conspiracy. God, that scares me. The Marxist plan for world domination, or the American dream, which is a beautiful one because the American dream, everybody knows, is such a great idea. But then, this writer, this expert, was able, in his deft manner, to reveal clearly the dark underbelly of the American dream. Whew, boy. What do you say to reveal the nature of man? The primary nature of man. Nobody will go see it. That is not an expert observation. And it does not fall within the accepted territory of an explanation. Too broad. Too universal. Not locally attractive enough. We got any time left? Can I push it at all? A minute or so? 1 minute. Well, on the basis of all that, I was going to say that since man's ordinary intelligence cannot approach any direct, more direct question as to causes, and must deal with explanations, and he has got to continually replenish, he has got to continually restock, he's got to stockpile what amounts to his stock in trade, which is what? Explanations. And as a closing theorem, I was going to present to you that to be a city intellectual or an expert, you can never tell the truth or get to the point.
3rd, 1991, Kyrutz.
And Kyrutz said, quite distinctly, this one guy said, I can hardly wait.
And Kyrutz said, in the contest between good and evil, right and wrong, The team of evil and wrong say they're bloody tired of second billing.
And Kairut said, one man said, some think I'm smarter than others. This sentence is fraught with danger.
And Kairut said, thus the posers hold their noses in contempt that things might be so plain.
And Kairut said, as those who know have always known, there's a difference in knowing something and proving something.
And Kairut said, one guy would very often attempt to excuse himself with the clever ruse of saying, excuse me.
And Kairut said, one man worked in a lab doing research on other creatures. At least that's what his employers told him.
And Kairut said, thank goodness, said one of the king's uncles, at least when one wishes to change one's mind, the services of an interior decorator are not required.
And Kairut said, one of the better known, though unknown, intellectual cartels has as its operational slogan, we promise what no one can ever deliver.
And Kairut said, in one somewhat more aggressive galaxy, the show's not over till the fat lady says, hey, who you calling fat?
And Kairut said, whenever his thoughts seemed yet again destined to run their old familiar course, this one guide sometimes gang up on himself.
And Kairut said, over in one city, a father told his kid, it's all right to be sarcastic as long as no one knows you are. Clarification. No city father ever told his son this. Additional clarification. No one ever told anybody this. Additional and final clarification. This is not true, and if you live in the city, pretend you didn't even hear it.
And Kairut said, as his domain pushed with uncertain steps toward greater freedom, the king, in response to charges of voting irregularities, stated that if, in fact, any election fraud had occurred, it was caused by allegations. Certain unpleasantnesses arose after this, and he quickly claimed he'd been misquoted, insisting that what he'd meant to say was caused by alligators. Following this, even more unpleasantness presented itself. Oh, you might be interested to know that it was this same ruler's youngest son who some years later made a temporary splash for himself when he advanced the notion that all crime was the result of accusations and indictments.
And Kairut said, one guy says, you can put his name down.
And Kairut said, in its attempt to cut a unique notch in the highly competitive academic ladder, this one university decided to determine which course the most students liked and offer only that one, day after day, year after year, class after class.
And Kairut said, got a sweaty letter here from a dude who says, I've been watching these shows for several months now, and I really like them, but I just gotta ask you something. Are you finally going to comment on every fucking thing in the world?
And Kairut said, then in several locations were erected stairs that didn't lead up to anything.
And Kairut said, there are some trans-dimensional construction companies that do work you would not believe.
And Kairut said, one chap's observation for a Visit Monday was, the most fun about being yourself is that it's so funny.
And Kairut said, this one god said he'd know he was on the right track if he ever came up with a creation in which he would select a would-be prophetic mouthpiece for himself and give him a secret message for the rest of the creatures, and then the guy run off and never tell anybody else.
And Kairut said, for a while, this one man carried squirrels in his pockets, until he realized how dumb they were. His pockets, that is.
And Kairut said, whilst waiting by a television tower, a gentleman came up to me and said quite plainly, the best thing about repeating yourself is that no one ever notices.
And Kairut said, whilst waiting by a television tower... Oh, no, you don't.
And Kairut said, one little turbocharged town has officially outlawed bad luck and replaced it with increased and oft-times extreme forms of good luck.
And Kairut said, if facts be not flexible, acts beseem intolerable.
And Kairut said, the leader of the state's religion was asked why its hierarchy wore such outlandish costumes that seemed to serve no discernible purpose. And he replied, oh, that's easy. The iffier the mess, the spiffier the dress.
And Kairut said, facts, the ultimate human entertainment.
And Kairut said, a fellow stopped me on the street yesterday and said that in his continuing battle not to become a complete old sorehead, he keeps his spirits up by reminding himself that someday a famous person may hit him with their new car.
And Kairut said, remember, said the substitute teacher in first period otherworldly economics, if you own it all, you don't need a calculator.
And Kairut said, when it comes to a fit operational definition of man's ordinary thinking processes, do note that low expectations is just a smart-ass way of saying proper expectations.
Yeah.
And Kairut said, often, during the regular business day, when he would pass one of those cheap commercial public mirrors This one chap would pause slightly in mid-step and say to his somewhat distorted reflection, "And the funny part is, it's so true, oh, so true." Well, back to work.
And Kairut said, "But one guy was having none of it."
And Kairut said, "In a kingdom of patterns, no one is king supreme. Thus be the power and beauty of patterns."
And Kairut said, "There is an integrity to willful silence that can't be learned through engineering."
And Kairut said, "One old guy wants us to know his idea that the social sciences are the city's secret diaper service."
And Kairut said, "To be unhappy at home alone may be the ultimate city triumph."
And Kairut said, "Trying to make sense out of things already known is like trying to think."
And Kairut said, "When the conditions in the city are just right, the contents of the broadcast can physically affect the radio receiver. PP&S. The conditions are always right." Yeah.
And Kairut said, "After the startling collapse of two of his best realities within a period of days, this one God's wife said, 'I warned you about that shit.'"
And Kairut said, "Being human is a serious thing. Being considered a serious human thinker makes it that much worse."
And Kairut said, "On especially bleak days, this one chap liked to compare his thought processes to a performance of Wagner. Except, he says, you can't dance to it."
And Kairut said, "Getting warm is half the trick. Staying warm is the second part, and avoiding the fuel bill is, of course, the remainder."
And Kairut said, "After watching your program for a while," begins the letter, "I feel somewhat better, if not relieved, in that I now oftentimes say to myself, 'Hey, what'd be the fun of thinking if it actually went anywhere?'"
And Kairut said, "Title of a new reality. No, wait, let's change that. Let's just say title of a new book. The Weighty Freedom of Not Wanting Anything."
And Kairut said, "As the king and his spiritual advisors stood watchfully by, from the ashes there arose a mighty cloud of ashes."
And Kairut said, "From one sleep came all our dreams. From one word, the mental landscape."
And Kairut said, "Although they'd waited several thousand years, Once the menu was read out, all the diners ran for their lives.
That concludes this talk. Be sure to visit us at jancox.com, where you can search through 3,000 talks for topics of interest, or just leave us a message.